Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. And that means restoring the knowledge of the love of God and how we are to love God and how God loves us. Now, it's a very interesting thing. Many denominations, Sunday-keeping denominations in the world, they use some of the scriptures in the Bible, but one of the gospels they rarely use is the Gospel of John. And the Gospel of John talks more about God the Father and the love of God than any other of the gospels. And also in it we find how we are to have the love of God, and we also see why the religious leaders and the contemporary political leaders did not understand Christ, because they didn't love God. So let's come back here to John the 5th chapter, and let's pick it up here in verse 39. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are the ones that testify of me, but you are unwilling to come to me that you may have life. Very interesting statement here. Are you a Yabit Christian? What do I mean by that? Yes, God, I will love you, but. Yeah, I agree with you, but. So that's a Yabit Christian. See, when we come to God, we come in repentance. We come asking for forgiveness. We come thanking God for his love and dealing with us and forgiving our sins. We come to God admitting that we haven't known the way to go. Now, they weren't willing to come to Jesus. And why is that? Because he didn't come to politically and religiously join them. So Jesus answered them and said here, I do not receive glory from men, but I have known you. Now listen to the rest of this statement, that you do not have the love of God in yourselves. They had love of religion, love of self, love of their own traditions, replacing the commandments of God with their own traditions. They didn't love God the way that God says we're to love him. We'll read that in a little bit, see. For I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. But if another comes in his own name, you will receive him. How are you able to believe? You who receive glory from one another and do not seek the glory that comes from the only God. Now notice what Jesus said here. Because once there is an establishment religion, Judaism, Christianity, Islam, Hinduism, they have their set things that they do. And they don't come to God. And what happens with that? They have an appearance of godliness. They look like they're good, but as we read earlier, no, they're not. So notice what Jesus said. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, even Moses, in whom you have hope. Now, for all of those of you who have believed, that the law has been abolished. I want you to read these next couple of verses here. But remember, you can't have love without law. So think on that. Think on that statement. You say you love God, but you don't believe what I'm going to read here that Jesus told the scribes and Pharisees. You think that God will accept you the way that you are? Do you think you will receive the love of God in living a life that's contrary to God? Oh, he'll keep you alive. He will provide food and air and water for you so that you may repent and come to him. And in a sense, that's a love of God coming to you. But the love we are talking about is the relational, salvational love that can only come from God's Spirit, that can only come from loving God and keeping his commandments, believing him, doing what is right, having the Word of God dwelling in us, as we read earlier. So notice what Jesus said, verse 45. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, even Moses, in whom you have hope. Now think about that for a minute. Is the Word of God living Word of God? Yes, indeed. What did Moses write? Everything that God spoke, correct? Is that the living Word of God? Yes, indeed. Did they believe it? No, they didn't. You would have believed me, for he wrote about me. And if you do not believe his writings, how shall you believe my words? Very profound and interesting thing, isn't it? Yes. Now, as we go along, let's see where that love comes from. Let's come back here to John 3 and verse 31. He who comes from above is above all. The one who is of the earth is earthy and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. And that's where Jesus came from. He came from heaven. And what he has seen and heard, this is what he testifies, but no one receives his testimony. The one who has received his testimony has set his seal that God is true. God is true. God is love. God is Creator. God is the one who provides everything, and in him we are to live and move and have our being, to be under his love, that he loves us and we love him. Now let's go on. For whom God has sent speaks the words of God, and God gives not the Spirit by measure unto him. That's the test of any minister. Do they really speak the words of God? All the words of God? Every one of the words of God? Not leaving them out. That's the test. Notice, verse 35, the Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. See, because the one verse that a lot of people like is John 3:16, because God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Well, we need to understand the love that God has for all of us if we yield to God so that he can give it to us and bless us and watch over us, take care of us, place his angels about us, give us wisdom and understanding, give us love toward him, give us love toward our neighbors, give us love even to those who despitefully and hatefully use us. Verse 36, the one who believes in the Son has everlasting life, but the one who does not obey the Son. So there is a key, belief and obey. That's why Jesus said, if you love me, keep the commandments, namely my commandments. That's how we need to approach it. But the one who does not obey the Son shall not see life, for the wrath of God remains upon him. No love coming from God. No, no. No love at all. What Jesus did and everything he did came because he loved the Father, and the Father loved him. And he then, as we will see in just a bit, willingly laid down his life. And all that that means. Let's come over here to chapter 5 and verse 20. For the Father loves the Son and shows him everything that he himself is doing, and he will show him greater works than these, so that you may be filled with wonder. For even as the Father raises the dead and gives life, in the same way also the Son gives life to whom he will. That's love. You want to be in the first resurrection? You better love God. God loves you if, as Jesus said, you keep his commandments. All right? Now let's go further. Let's come back here to John 10 and verse 14. I am the good shepherd, and I know those who are mine, and am known of those who are mine. Do you know Jesus Christ? Do you know the love of God? Do you know that God loves you? Do you understand what Jesus did so you can come to God and have your sins forgiven? Verse 15, just as the Father knows me, I also know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, for his church, for his people. Those who are the people of God are the sheep of God. And Jesus told Peter, feed my sheep. If you love me, feed my lambs. If you love me, shepherd my sheep. So anyone who is a minister, a teacher, must love God first and understand that that love of God is to translate from God to the teacher, to the teachings, to those that are being taught, so we can all grow in the love of God and the grace of God and the knowledge of God. That's what God wants us to do. Verse 16, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring those also, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. On account of this, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may receive it back again. Now think about that. Think about all the things that Jesus went through on that Passover day. Now if you don't have the book, The Day Jesus to Christ Died, you need to request that book. We'll send it to you free. You can either write us or email us, whatever. You can download it free right there on Church at Home. Now, if you have read the book, Killing Jesus by Bill O'Reilly, you need that book to understand what Jesus really did when he says here, I lay down my life for the sheep. Question. What would you lay down in the way of your life for someone you love? Just let you think on that. Now let's go on. Verse 18. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have authority to lay it down and authority to receive it back again. This commandment I receive from my Father. Now that's how much God loves you. Think on that. That is quite a thing for us to understand and contemplate. Let's come to the book of Matthew. Let's see some things here in Matthew that Jesus is talking about. Let's come to Matthew 5. And here are all the Beatitudes. These are the attitudes that we need to have in loving God, in our relationship with God. And look at the blessings that come with it. Now, not every blessing is going to happen in this life. The greatest blessing is going to happen, which for us is the resurrection. No one's in heaven right now. The only one who has ascended to heaven is Jesus Christ. You find that in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. He's the first fruit, the firstborn from the dead, and afterwards those who are Christ's at his coming. And Jesus hasn't returned yet. But he's going to return soon. And when that happens, that's going to be a tremendous and fantastic thing. So you need our book, The Appointed Times of Jesus the Messiah, and you can read about the return of Christ. Now here's what he taught, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now that means the kingdom which comes from heaven, the kingdom of God. Notice the attitudes. Not haughty, not lifted up, not in love with self, but poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Yes, when you repent and you mourn over your sins and all the things that are transpiring and going on in your life and see things in the world, God will comfort you. And it is the Holy Spirit which comforts. So we need to have that as well. All of these are part of the love of God. Because you see, if you love God, you will be affected by sin that people do, be affected by sin that you do, and desire to repent. Now notice verse 5. Blessed are the meek. Again, not lifted up in vanity, not haughty, not narcissistic, but notice the reward, for they shall inherit the earth. Now think about that. See, God's plan is so fantastic. It is so great. And you need to understand that. That's why we have the book, Occult Holidays Are God's Holy Days. You need to write for that. You need to know what are the holy days of God and what do they mean? And why has the world in hatred toward God kept all of these occult holidays? Halloween, Christmas, Easter, New Year's, and all of that. Those aren't from God. No man can sanctify those pagan things and say God will accept them. All who do, they don't love God. Now here's another characteristic of loving God. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. And righteousness is the word of God. And those who are Christ are sanctified by the word of God, set aside by the word of God, the Spirit of God, the truth of God. Remember what Jesus said to those scribes and Pharisees? I know you. You do not have the love of God dwelling in you. You do not have the word of God dwelling in you. No, you're run by your own thoughts and your own traditions and your own religion, see. Do you hunger and thirst after righteousness? The word of God? Do you pray every day and study every day? Is that how your life is? Let's go on. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall find mercy. Always remember that. Never get into a situation where you are so recalcitrant that you will not forgive. Now, even if they haven't repented in your own mind, for your own mind's sake and your own relationship with God, pray for their repentance. Ask God to forgive them. Ask God to grant them repentance. And hold nothing against them. Now, that doesn't mean if they've done some very awful things to you that you necessarily have to go and be friends with them. Not so. But you be merciful and forgive them. Verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Isn't that an amazing thing? You know, think on this. How many times have you done something that you know is good? That you know is right? And you feel very happy because you did it. And then, bang! Along comes some evil thought in your mind. You ever have that happen to you? Well, that just shows you need your mind purified or cleansed. And that is purified and cleansed by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. We're the peacemakers. When we are resurrected, we are going to bring peace to this world. Now, on a smaller scale, we need to be peacemakers between one another. We need to be peacemakers between those who have controversies And God says there's a blessing in that. Now, let's come here to verse 43. Now, here is the hardest thing in the world to do. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, he's got a higher standard, love your enemies. What did Jesus say, the first saying on the cross? Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Now, there was a little boy who was kidnapped, thrown in a car and taken away. And all he could remember was singing a song in praise to God. And he kept singing that over and over and over and over again, and he was driving the kidnapper insane. But he kept saying it. He wouldn't shut up. He kept singing. Finally, the kidnapper stopped the car, put the boy out, and went on his way. I think they got the kidnapper later.
In April, while playing with his dog in the front yard of his Atlanta home, Willie came face to face with a kidnapper, putting his childlike faith to the test.
Some guy came up in a silver or gray Honda Accord, man-tussled me in the car.
He man-tussled you in the car.
Willie says he wanted to yell for help, but the man covered his mouth. Traumatized, Willie feared for his life.
Cursing. I was thinking that he's going to hurt me bad, real bad.
Thrown into the back of a locked car, Willie's fear soon gave way to faith in the form of a gospel song he learned at church. He began singing it in the back seat.
God's my deliverer. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Every praise is to our God.
The popular song Every Praise by Grammy Award-winning artist Hezekiah Walker is one of Willie's favorites.
I knew it by heart. I sang it, the whole thing by heart. And God, if you praise the Lord, he'll help you in a mysterious way.
Despite repeated threats, Willie sang nonstop while the man drove around for 3 hours. Agitated by the constant singing, the man eventually let Willie out of the car. Willie's story made headlines around the world, leading to talk show appearances like Arsenio Hall. He even got the chance to perform his song of deliverance with Walker. While he's enjoying being in the media spotlight, he says he's just an ordinary kid who serves an extraordinary God.
But there's a terrific example of how God intervened because this little boy, and all he knew was to sing praise to God, and God delivered him from it. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. How can you do that? By asking God to help them see their mistakes and grant them repentance. That's how. Now, if they need correction, let God do it. He'll do it. Maybe not right at that minute. You can pray for them and say, oh, God, they're so wrong. Help them to see where they're wrong. And do good to those who hate you and pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you so that you may be the children of your Father who is in heaven. That's what we want to be, the children of God the Father, loving him, obeying him, keeping his commandments, loving people, loving each other because we love God. And we love God because we put that first in our lives. See? So he says here in verse 46, for if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not the tax collectors practice the same thing? Or if you salute your brethren only, what have you done that is extraordinary? Do not the tax collectors practice the same thing? And then he gives the whole goal of a true Christian. What is it that God wants us to do? Well, Jesus stated it here. Verse 48, therefore you shall be perfect, even as your Father who is in heaven is perfect. Now, how's that for a goal? And that is the whole message of the New Testament. How do we get from where we are as sinning carnal human beings to where God wants us to be as perfect as he is? That's what's in the New Testament. Well, we cover many of those things. There's a lot involved in it, but it is all easy to do because it comes from God. So be sure and write in for our books, Occult Holidays, The Day Jesus the Christ Died, and remember to visit our other website, cbcg.org. So this is Fred Coulter saying, until next time, so long, everyone, and thank you for inviting me into your home.